Who would have thought, hey?
A little gap in the door, Chris.
Could have caused so much of an issue of pre-settlement.
Pre-settlement. And that's what we're speaking about today, guys. Pre-settlement inspections. Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent. And with me and forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. I feel like I've got to lift it because you're a bit subdued for your usual tack today.
Super sorry, Chris. Let's crack straight into it. We got a fantastic story. And then in the following episode, we're going to have how to remedy or overcome these obstacles.
Yeah, I think we're best to hit the or strike while the iron's hot. So we had a scenario this week. Now, Kurt and I working in Sydney, it's not uncommon or impossible for us to have a deal either side together. So me as a buyer's agent, who was the real estate agent.
And we happened to be actually working. You were negotiating for this buyer, correct?
Yeah, I was. So I was engaged to negotiate only. So sometimes I'm usually engaged to do sort of a whole search and find and assess all the properties. In this scenario, I was asked just to negotiate. They identified the property. They had done their due diligence. They're a bit scared of you, let's say, or scared of real estate agents. So they got me involved in negotiating.
Big scary boy I am.
Which is interesting because we'll talk about this later on. I was a bit blind in terms of things. So we've negotiated. Let's talk more about the pre-settlement this week. So we head in. There was some things about the property that we already knew wouldn't be spot on.
Yeah, so we knew it had been notified, emailed that the stove wasn't working.
The stove not working. The gas plates hot top, though, yep. They were working. But the stove itself was not working. My client was okay with that. They'll get that fixed later on.
The aircon was working, but it was very old and did need to be fine-tuned in terms of...
Had an error that the sensor determining the temperature of the house wasn't working. So the actual air conditioning, cooling and heating was working.
Yeah.
But usually an air conditioner says, right, when it gets down to a certain degree, you can turn off. This didn't have the ability to do that, so it would just keep blowing cold air or keep blowing hot air, whichever way you had it.
And that hadn't been negotiated to be fixed beforehand.
So my clients were going through the pre-settlement inspection, walking through the property. What did they ask you, Kurt, at that time?
When we got to the aircon, if the owner could fix it, send someone out to fix it.
Right. Now, I'm a big, big believer. Don't ask, don't get it. Put you on the back foot. Right, it wasn't something you just say. You didn't brush it. You're a nice guy. Yeah.
Well, you're trying to keep the relationship. You're trying to,
Of course, you want to be happy.
I don't like
happy
things
occasion.
Getting negative.
But you're in essence, your response then was really appreciate that. I will highlight to the vendor. However, the vendor doesn't have to do anything, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's where you use the heart to say please, and so forth. But the unusual part was this had been noted prior to the pre-settlement. So a bit unusual to be discussing it there and then.
And it was discussed in person. It was shown, and as I said before, wasn't negotiated that it must be fixed before the contract was signed or before settlement.
So don't ask, don't get, but politely refuse, basically.
Yeah.
We then start walking around and without you knowing, actually, so we were not without you knowing, but only you found out today, just prior to today, the podcast starting, that we checked the pressure of some of the taps.
Yep.
One or two weren't working as efficient. They were still working, but not as efficient. They didn't even make mention to you of the day. Little did you know, they communicated to me after the inspection to say, is there any way, can that be rectified and fixed? And what are we, again, what could happen in that scenario?
You've bought the property as is and wasn't even talked about beforehand. You've agreed to sign the contract. Our vendor, representing my vendor in this situation, and by the law that... Nothing. We're not obliged to fix.
It comes back to, and we're going to talk about in part two from today, is checking and assessing these things prior to purchasing and highlighting them or having them rectified during the negotiation is imperative.
Well, so after, before we get into the negotiation, there was one other thing, Chris.
Inclusions? Of the property itself. I've not lost track. I know where we're getting to. I just thought I'd give a teaser.
Teaser.
Where we're getting to. So you are right. There was another thing. I hadn't forgotten. So my clients, we then walk through and there is a door issue.
I think I'm going to give it a crack. The door basically, the door mechanism, unfortunately, years ago, whenever it was, wasn't working anymore. And so the owner had put a bolt in the bottom of the door, so it was still perfectly secure. However, when it was lined up and measured to get the bolt securely in, there was obviously just a little bit of a gap creating a chance for a draft. So it's still secure. We're also not ground floor in a weird way. So no one's coming over, but even if they did, you couldn't get him.
Yeah, I think it was more... I don't think it was a security thing for the clients to mention. I feel like it was more the draft.
Yeah,
you know, it was a cooler day, the day we'd gone through. Now, once again, this door, this latch that had been broken at some point, the bolt been put in, that was something new?
Yep. Sorry.
You drifted off there. No, I'll help this. It was definitely not new. It had been something been broken a long time ago. The bolt they put in even had signs that had been there for some time. So... again, what do we say? What do we say when someone buys? They buy it
as it is.
As it is,
unless it's been negotiated beforehand that it will be fixed.
So this awkwardness, and again, I do get it because to an element is if you bleed from the heart and you make the very kind real estate agent, you say, please, could this be identified? Again, you played a pretty strong bat, but you weren't rude. You said, look, it is as you purchased. Have a gentle discussion with the vendor. I think you then came back with, it is unlikely to do anything because it is as purchased. I think by this time, not that you were getting frustrated, but I think you're getting to the point of like, the buyers need to understand that they're asking for a whole bunch of things that plainly they have no right to, in a way.
Well, in our next episode, this is what we're going to discuss and highlight how to overcome these obstacles and actually what to look out for, because as Chris and I were discussing off air, when it comes to negotiation, a lot of people just think of price, settlement, penalties to do with the property,
deposit level,
but there is so much more, which is why buyer's agents are becoming more and more important, because they are aware of this.
Yep.
And this property was bought before auction.
Yep.
So, but because you hadn't seen it, you were handicapped. You couldn't help it. You couldn't.
Well, yeah, I actually offered them to come and inspect it myself. And I had seen the property, I had seen the property sort of 3, 4, 5 months earlier, opportunistically, but hadn't really assessed it fully because I was more looking at, you know, okay, let's see if I have a buyer that could match this. They then, I offered them to come, for me to come back and assess it and check things off. I think they were nervous, and it's where you're playing off in your own brain to go, oh, we need to rush, we need to get this done, because they had a time pressure. They had another auction property prior to this one auctioning. So the concern was if we didn't snap it up before auction, then they'd have to go somewhere else and distract their attention and so forth. So they forego a little bit of that, which meant I didn't get as detailed as I'd like to be. And I put my hand up. Maybe it's a lesson learned for me. But, some shortfalls. Yeah, it's shortcomings there in the negotiation front.
So this is the story side. We're going to probably wrap this up and get into our three quick questions. But we're setting the scene for the next episode of what pre-settlement, I guess, sort of when something can go wrong or not the greatest pre-settlement inspection. And we're going to answer how to overcome that in the next episode.
Yeah, we're going to talk about during the negotiation, pretty much.
Yep.
How you can address those at that stage rather than later on. Yes. Okay, three quick cues. You ready to go? Or me?
Who's going first? I think you hit me first, Chris.
Okay. What percentage of buyers don't ever do a pre-settlement inspection in your experience?
3%.
3%. So almost everyone does, 3% don't.
Yeah.
I still think it's bizarre that people don't. Go on, what's yours?
Chris, how long do you spend, or would you recommend buyers spend on a pre-settlement inspection?
Half an hour, depending on, but some other things might be there if you've got things to focus on or can't defend, but I'd definitely allow for half an hour.
Okay.
Very quick tip as well, feel free to bring trades or someone else in there with you. You might be getting some work done when you soon move out. It is another opportunity to get someone in. Tell the agent you're going to do that beforehand. Have you ever had a buyer try and begin, even if it's just a washing basket or a box, to move in during the pre-settlement? They haven't got the keys, settlement's not occurred, but they go, you don't mind if I leave this here, do you?
No.
You've not had that? Yeah, right. I've had it a couple of times with my buyers trying to do it.
Yeah, being requested beforehand, but
not on the day.
Not on the day. Okay.
Cool.
How many times is the purchaser allowed to see the property before it settles? Once the contract's been signed to settlement period, how many times legally are they allowed?
I'm going to go, I believe it's one.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. But you, again, usually get more than that if you're a nice agent like yourself. How far out of Sydney do you live?
Chris, I live in Sydney, my mate.
The funny thing is, when you mention this, is Kurt years ago lived out of Sydney. When we first met, he told me that, and I've just assumed forever he's still living out of Sydney.
Travelling 2 hours every day
into work and into see me, let alone I'm not going to say which side he lives in, but Lower North Shore there. So yeah. That was a bit of a surprise to me the other day. Anyway, last question. Let's heat it up.
What would you prefer, Chris? To wear singlets for the rest of your life or dressed up in a three-piece suit every time you leave the bedroom?
Oh, that's actually tough.
And this is taking into consideration normal life, normal family events.
Three-piece suit.
I like it.
Which actually surprises me, but I think that's what I go with. All right. Thank you all for dropping by. Like I said, part two, we're going to do tie into this. Help you out, avoid some of these issues.
How to negotiate properly on a property.